Hello, product innovators. Today we learn the key difference between designing a test prototype versus designing a pre-production prototype from a 25-year industrial design engineer.
This is the Product Startup Podcast, a show to learn from top leaders in hardware product development, prototyping, manufacturing, product selling, and everything in between. Hosted by Kevin Macko, the leading expert on product development for hardware startups.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm very excited to introduce Tim Ace to the show. Tim is the director of design at our very own Macko Design for almost 10 years. Before us, he held various senior design leadership and lecturing roles and worked with Dell, Nike Golf, Qualcomm, and Iron Man. Today, Tim will share valuable knowledge from vendor startups and small manufacturers on how a mechanical prototype and pre-production prototype differ for plastic parts primarily, what design for manufacturing requirements are, and best practices for ensuring an efficient plastic product design, engineering, and prototyping process. Now, onto the episode.
This show is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MackoDesign.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hey, Tim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Kevin. It's great to be back again.
We're excited today to talk to you about a very specific phase in the product development process. And today we're primarily talking about products that have plastic or products that are entirely plastic. But this actual prototyping process that we're going to be talking about is akin to many different types or versions of products as well, whether it has electronics or silicones or metals or whatever else. This frame of thinking is very important as you go from what we call a mechanical prototype or working prototype into a pre-production prototype. And the importance of both phases, but also the key differences and what you're working on from one into the next. Before we get into all that good stuff, Tim, just give us a bit of a background of how you got to the success that you are today.
I think success is relative, but I think 20 years of experience, 25 years of experience in industrial design from working on all kinds of consumer products, telephones and things when we still used to have home phones and things like that, to more modern things like undersea sonar systems and products for Dell and for Nike. There have been many, many different products that have come across my desk. So I think just mainly through experience, I've learned the better ways to tackle product development and better ways to try and optimize flow from having a great idea to having a great product on the shelf.
Yeah, that's amazing. Almost 10 years at Macko Design here, Tim, and obviously you worked on dozens and dozens and dozens of projects. And the reality is, in this world that we live in, the vast majority of hardware startup inventions either are all plastic or mainly plastic, or at a minimum, probably have some plastic components or elements to them, especially with a whole wide range and variety of plastics within that subcategory. So first and foremost, Tim, what are we talking about when we talk about a mechanical prototype or a mid-stage prototype? First, I want to address the audience in understanding that let's assume we've already, for the sake of this podcast, we're going to assume we've already gone through all the design engineering research steps. We've already maybe roughed together some early stage, just brief rough prototypes and that sort of stuff. But now we move into a mid-stage prototype called the mechanical prototype. Tim, describe what that mechanical prototype is, and then we'll lean into the difference between a mechanical prototype and then going into your pre-production or final prototype from there.
So the previous step that you just mentioned is kind of where we've gone to prove out a mechanism, perhaps to prove out a thought or an idea and see that it could actually be made to work. The next step where we talk about mechanical prototype is where we start to say, okay, these components now need to be put into a format that we think will be probably injection molded or machined in some kind of way. Mass produced in the future out of plastic. And we begin to shape those components in such a way that we optimize them for those processes, for maybe for injection molding, for instance. So we've done the rough prototypes, perhaps out of different kinds of materials. We've proven out the mechanism. But now the time comes where we have to translate that to a plastic option, kind of modeling them in such a way that they can be made out of plastic.
Yeah, that's such a key step because we're really now moving from roughing something together. Obviously, it's done via really good CAD models from the design phase. You've done some of your rough prototyping for basic form, fit, function, et cetera, to test out really key assumptions. Now we're moving into this mechanical prototype where we have to take all the assumptions and the learnings from everything that we've done so far and really start detailing out that CAD to build these parts now, and the material is representing a manufactured unit so that we can really start testing out the reliability and the longevity and the quality of the actual design in a really well put together prototype.
That's right. And, you know, sometimes in that transition, we learn whether the plastic is strong enough to do what we need to do, or whether we need to think about different kinds of plastic. Those are kind of the things we start to test out in this phase. There are many different kinds of plastic and they have different uses. And so this is kind of the phase where we start to decide what materials we'll be using in different specific parts.
Yeah, and then we get the beauty of actually trying them out. Now, that's a key in hardware design is you can only do so much digitally. At some point, you have to translate that to the physical world, and doing these parts in a really high quality fashion while thinking about the plan and all of the design for manufacturing logic that you've put into the even the original design, into what was happening in the rough prototyping and some of the feedback you got there. Now actually building these parts in a way that you think could conceivably be manufacturable, but not yet parts that are actually manufacturable, because we are just trying to really test out the quality, reliability, workability, usability, and customer use case quality, all of these other things that go into making sure that your product is designed great, what you want works well. So now That's we right. move into the next step. So let's assume we've nailed that. We've done a really good job at this mid-stage prototype, and now we're ready to move forward into manufacturing. Obviously, we can't now jump straight into manufacturing, so there's this really key step in between. And that's your pre-production prototype. Tim, talk us through what that is and how that differs from a mechanical prototype.
Right. So now that we've decided what materials we're going to use, as you said, Kevin, is we have decided what processes that we're going to use to form those parts. And in, for instance, the example of injection molding, there are certain things we need to do to make them easy to mold and also to take out of the mold when it comes to injection molding. If you think about an injection molding mold, the simplest version of that that we always describe is the flower pot shape, right? It's, let's say, a right side up flower pot, but it has these drafted angles on it. And if you imagine a top part and a bottom part of a tool having to close together in order to create a cavity that is the shape of the flower pot, what you want to be able to do is to open those two parts of the tool and literally have that flower pot just drop out or drop off of the mold so that it's easy to demold again. And that improves cycle times and things down the process. Now, these draft angles are typically between half a degree and 3 degrees, depending on the roughness of an exterior texture or finish on a product. And so we have to go into those mechanical parts that we designed before and start applying these angles to all the surfaces that would be in touch with the mold. That can become a very tricky thing to do as well, because the moment that you start moving away from right angles, everything gets a lot more complicated. This phase literally could take you back a step sometimes, because once you start applying those angles, it just gets trickier to produce the part in perhaps the geometry that you wanted it to do the specific function that it was made for. That's kind of the next step, but it can be quite a complicated step, but you know, it's something that we do very regularly and we're very good at.
It's such a key piece too, and hopefully this helps a lot of listeners. If it's your first time going through product development, especially for a plastic hardware product that is a unique consumer product, unique shape that you're developing and designing, this difference is really important to understand, because so many hardware startups make the mistake of thinking, okay, I've got some great concept CAD, just send it through to manufacturing. You're missing three critical stages: the rough prototyping element to just cheaply and relatively easily testing key theories. And from there, you're going to a mechanical prototype to really make sure the product works well. Then once you've got something that works well, you're going into this third key phase, which is a pre-production prototype, to make sure that all the little details that go into manufacturing engineering are ironed out. All of this before you're actually then doing the actual production itself, which is really critical. Now, the question that so many people have when they look at this process is they say, well, why wouldn't you just do that work earlier? Well, if you look at this as kind of a pyramid, foundationally, you've got your concept design. And from there, you go into your rough prototype, which is where you drill down the physical parts. Mechanical prototype is, again, drilling it down to make sure it works. And then on top of that, you're then detailing it. If you were to try and invert that pyramid or to put all of that in the first stack, any kind of mistaken assumption, any type of design change, any type of just unknowns become exponentially more costly because all you're doing is doing a whole bunch of work. And if you change one tiny thing, then you have to redo all of that work again. So this process by using this pyramid style method and designing this is extremely efficient and effective at getting the vision you have as a product entrepreneur to a manufacturable standpoint. The key here is not to skip steps because the further you push these sorts of design for engineering things forward, the more expensive they become. So if you have a really well built out foundation, you go through all the appropriate steps to go from one phase to the next phase, you're building an incredibly strong foundation for the product overall to be able to go to manufacturing and be done well and done great, as opposed to, you know, pushing key problems or key solutions or key challenges forward. Those costs, anytime you push something forward in hardware design, just know that you have doubled, tripled, quadrupled whatever that cost was. And that's not a good thing to do as a hardware startup. So this is why you follow a key process and go from there.
Very good point, Kevin. You know, every part or every component that you are taking from that mechanical prototype through to the pre-production prototyping is going to require a significantly more number of hours to prepare it for that pre-production prototype. And so if you were to, in the mechanical phase, start making the changes that you would do in pre-production, you may find that you're doing double work or doing work that then has to be repeated further down the line. And so you're actually just, as you said, exponentially increasing the cost of your development time and cost of parts and products as you go down the line, and potentially just causing yourself to have to go backwards again and restart the process. So it's better to kind of take it one step at a time and first develop out the mechanism, then take it to mechanical, and then from there decide which are the parts that we have to take forward and are they in the right configuration to take to mass production, and then prepare them for mass production so that you do the minimum amount of work.
Yep, Tim, that makes a ton of sense. And that's super helpful, I think, for everybody who's listening here to really dial down on and understand, like, what is the goal at each phase? What are you trying to achieve? And how is this being done efficiently so that you can keep this project running at a reasonable pace on a startup budget that also is done to a world-class standard? Because as we know, hardware products must be released in a high-quality fashion. There is simply no room with online reviews and high buyer requirements, if you're going direct to wholesalers or even to retailers, if you're not hitting a minimum global standard of excellence in terms of product design and the quality of the actual manufacturing of the product, you will not succeed. Now, that doesn't mean a lot of features. We talked a lot about that on the show, keeping your features to a minimum, which is an excellent thing because the less features that you have for your starter product as a hardware startup, then the easier it is to actually go through all of these steps, get you to production. And when you go to production, the lesser set of features have really been done the correct way and with the proper amount of thought. So those features work well. Then you learn from your customers and you add features or you grow the business from there, but you've got yourself into the market with a great product and that has gone through all the necessary steps to ensure that the manufacturing is reliable, robust, and all of those other good things along the way. Tim, any passing notes before I let you go here?
No, I think the simplest thing that I can say is keep it simple, right? Usually keeping ideas streamlined all the way through the process, we often see great ideas come across our desk, and complicating things by adding to them unnecessarily is what we try and avoid. And getting the basic idea through the whole process is usually the thing that is the most successful. We've often had clients that were excellent at just focusing on their MVPs and, you know, keeping the most important things, most important solution at the forefront of their product and avoiding adding additional things, because everything you add has to go through all these processes as we've discussed. And as I said, the more things you add in, the more exponentially it becomes expensive at the end.
Well, that's really a good thing to note as well, Tim. And I think it's important for listeners as well. Know that what we have given is kind of a general framework. If your product is significantly more complex or even more experimental, I mean, you really don't know what the solution is, and it might take a number of different attempts to get to said solution, then the framework here that we're talking about will certainly expand. So maybe it means doing two or three different types of even rough prototypes before we even get to mechanical prototype. Maybe it means redoing an entire prototype phase altogether. Like you mentioned, Tim, sometimes it means taking one step back you know, getting to a point, finding out that there is either a problem or a better solution, taking one step back and then going through the process again. The key is, you know, again, keeping the feature creep to a minimum, keeping the experimentation as a hardware startup to the minimum, meaning don't try and bite off too many new technologies at once. Don't be trying too much to push the boundaries of known physics as we have today. Right. Do that on your version 2.0 and really stick to best practices as of today within the confines that your specifications allow, and only experiment where you absolutely need to, typically for the unique elements of your product that really haven't been done before. Because know that the difference between building a house and building a product is significant. Everything in a house is in a textbook. You can literally find every single millimeter of every single part of your house is in multiple textbooks over hundreds of thousands of different courses and teachings worldwide for hundreds of years. Whereas in product development, yes, 70 or 80% of the product is likely in a textbook and is likely routine. But that 20 or 30% is the unique elements of your product. Even just simply combining two things that already exist into this new format or feature, which most inventions are a combination, a modification, or a rework of existing technology, that is what is unique. And that will be experimental. And that's what really needs to be focused in terms of ironing out through these prototype phases, making sure you're doing it right. And the routine design then comes along. And together, once you've solved both of those sides of the coin, you've got a great product. But know that everything we talked about today is kind of a standard run of a, you know, let's call it medium complexity plastic component or series of plastic components. Things can scale up or scale down depending on the complexity of the product. Tim, thanks again for all your words of wisdom. We look forward to having you back on the show again, and take care.
I appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Product Startup Podcast. If you found some value in the show, please do us a huge favor and hit the like button and subscribe. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or anything else, feel free to reach out to us anytime at our email, podcast@macodesign.com. This show is hosted by Kevin Macko, North America's leading expert on product development for hardware startups. And the podcast is produced by Macko Design, the original firm providing end-to-end consumer product development services tailored specifically to hardware startups, small manufacturers, and inventors. Take your product from idea to store shelves at MakkoDesign.com. That's M-A-K-O Design.com. Thanks for joining, and see you again soon.